We are going to be in Matthew today. You can turn there if you would like to. When we were buying our house, we went to go look at it and to go tour the house, see if it seemed like it would fit our needs. And one thing I noticed was that the different rooms had very definitive different themes. It was not a house where each bedroom was painted in the same color of off-white. Clearly, the different kids in the rooms had the chance to customize their rooms. So you could tell this room was very dark. This room was overwhelmingly bright. One room was all decked out with Broncos stuff. That oftentimes that's the way it is with kids' bedrooms, that if they have a little bit of freedom, the thing that they're into at that time just kind of takes over. I remember my daughter putting up butterflies just everywhere in her room. Big butterflies, little butterflies. It was butterflies everywhere. That you would go into that room and you would not have a question about what type of thing she likes. Say, oh, are you into beetles, worms? Oh, butterflies? Oh, okay. Okay, butterflies. A lot of times people are like that with their sports team, that those super fans who go beyond just the standard a hat or something you might have. You go to their house and you're like, wow, you really like the Broncos. There's stuff everywhere. You know, I wondered when your mailbox was painted. When I got inside, it removed all doubt. I know what you are excited by. That when we are excited about something, when it's important to us, when we are spending our time and our energy on something, it can overflow. It becomes obvious to those around us. Today we're looking at a story of Jesus and his ministry and celebrating that overflow of the people around him. We'll be in Matthew chapter 21. That here we see the story that is recounted in each of the Gospels of Jesus coming into the city, coming to Jerusalem. That he comes to the Mount of Olives, and if you know some of the geography of the land, there's Jerusalem up on its own hill, and then there's a little bit of a valley, and up on the other side is the Mount of Olives. So you can look out from the city and see the face of the Mount of Olives, which is not a real steep mountain. It's a really big hill. And Jesus comes and he walks down that hill and up the other side into the city. And he'd be able to see the walls of the city and the temple there. That you know the story. When he goes, this is a further announcement of who he is and what he's there for. He's already been teaching publicly in many places, and now he's being publicly announced in Jerusalem itself. As he comes, they send a few disciples out, and they bring that donkey for him to ride on. And so we pick up in Matthew 21, verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. It's always a good start to a story, isn't it? People obeying Jesus. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the way that you care for us and for especially the gift of your word. And we ask that you would open our hearts and minds, Help us to know you and to be stirred up by that knowledge to live in a new way. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. That he enters not just in the normal way of pilgrims coming in. This was heading towards the Passover, and crowds would have been gathering and heading to Jerusalem. But he doesn't come as a pilgrim or a traveler just there to worship. When Jesus comes this time, he makes a king's entrance. It is a king's entrance that the crowds surround him and the people are shouting for him. When I was in Minnesota, we lived in a small town, 300 people. And every year there was a parade. And we were lucky enough that the parade went directly in front of our house. So, in fact, they lined up essentially at the edge of our block, you know, one house down from us. They'd start lining up. And in a small town, at least, nobody is caught off guard by the parade. We certainly could never have been caught off guard because marching bands and motorcycles and fire trucks and floats all started forming a line at our yard. And we knew about it, of course, and people would come and they'd set up chairs in our yard. It was basically the best place to set up for the parade, especially if you want to get any candy that they're giving away. You know, everyone on the parade, they start out real enthusiastic. Look how much candy we have. They're giving away real generously. A couple blocks farther down, when the crowds really started, they had to start portioning it out a little bit more carefully. Might run out by the end. But we were the first group of people, and so we had a generous helping of candy, and everyone's real excited. I rode in the parade before, and I think you will never be greeted so enthusiastically as when you are on a parade float, waving to people and smiling, and the crowd's all cheering for you and happy to see you. And maybe it's just because you're giving out candy also. I don't know. But to have hundreds of cheering people, yeah, come on. And they don't know who I am, so they're not saying Andrew. But excited to see me as I ride down the street. Here, Jesus is parading into the city. Only the people of Jerusalem don't know that it's coming. That the shout comes out, this crowd that had followed him, the people who knew Jesus and had seen what he had done, are gathered around and they are raising the shout and they're going beyond that. That on this path, they're throwing their cloaks on the road. They're cutting branches from the trees. I imagine there might have been some upset gardeners the next day. What happened here? That they were making ready the path for the king, for Jesus coming into Jerusalem. I've never been in a situation where I've thrown my cloak on the ground for someone to walk on. I don't know the etiquette of that. Do you go farther down the road until you find a blank spot and throw your cloak there? Do you stay with your cloak, or is it like a catch it up later type of thing? Pick it up as soon as they've walked over it. What I do know is the text says most of the crowd spread their cloaks. That means there were some people out there who were like, man, you guys are all putting your cloaks on the ground? I'm just going to leave mine on if that's okay. I get easily chilled. Maybe those were the ones who were like, I'm going to grab a couple branches if that's okay. But then everyone begins to shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. They are making a racket. This group of pilgrims who knew Jesus and had followed him, we know crowds that would seek him out when he tried to find a quiet place. I'm just going to go across the other side of the lake. The crowds would run around. Well, now they've caught him. They're there with him. They're throwing their coats on the ground. They're destroying the local foliage. They're shouting. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. He is the king. Of course, people in Jerusalem have a little bit of catching up to do. They don't know the stories yet. They don't know who he is or what's going on. It says, when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. The whole city is stirred up. If you imagine, they're able to look out from the walls, those on the edges of the town, and see this crowd coming down the hillside across from them, hear the shouts echoing across that valley. They start to wonder, well, what's happening here? This is a city that, in many ways, is under enemy occupation. Although, yes, there was peace, but it was Roman peace, not the peace of Israel. They were used to the idea of soldiers being around. The parades they were used to seeing were the Roman parades, movements of troops. Here's something different from the Mount of Olives down into Jerusalem. And the shout, I don't want to criticize these people, but the shout doesn't really tell you that much. It's a great shout. I love it. We praise God with similar words still. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the people, the crowd there, as they respond, they said, okay, I hear you saying blessed is he, but who is he? Who's the he you're talking about? Who are you referring to? I'm assuming the guy on the donkey. Can we get a little bit more information? That as they enter the city, people are stirred up. Now a crowd has gathered in Jerusalem itself, coming to the gates of the city, overflowing out of them, I imagine, seeing this crowd come in. What is going on? What is all the racket? You know, personally, I'm the type of neighbor who kind of keeps to myself. I don't feel like I have to nose into everyone's business nearby. If you have an extra car parked in your driveway, I'm not going to ask about that. Four or five cars parked along the street. Okay, well, you have something going on. That's fine. You start getting a loud enough party that goes on for long enough. You're running your grill for long enough that I can start to smell it. There's a big enough crowd gathered at your house. I might come knock. Hey, so what's going on here? Like, oh, are we in your way? No, but it smells real good. I figure you must have like 80 people here. One more can't hurt. What are we celebrating? These crowds come and they gather and there's enough people making a big enough noise that they start to ask, what is going on? And the people who are with Jesus, these two crowds facing off in a way, why are you coming into our city? Why like this? Don't you know the etiquette of pilgrims? We're the people who live in Jerusalem. You guys come peacefully. You buy some stuff. You do the Passover. You get back out of here. We try to clean up the mess. You don't come shouting. You don't come announcing things. Probably some fear in the crowd. What are the Romans going to say when you march into the city like this? Who is this? This is Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. It's a beautiful story. It's a great part of what leads to these conflicts that will fill the next week of the ministry of Jesus. This crowd that has followed him and they've seen the miracles, they've heard his teaching, they've been stirred up by the words of Jesus, and now they're stirring up all of Jerusalem. Big crowd coming in there, and they're all excited about the same guy. And then a Jerusalem that is wondering who he is. And we see Jesus go on and teach. And we see the plots against him build up. and ultimately his betrayal and the crucifixion. All of which Jesus knew was coming as he came into the city. It's time for me to go there. He wasn't trying to sneak in and avoid anything, but announcing, yes, I am here. And it's good to be reminded of that because the crucifixion and the resurrection are so central to our faith. But Jesus was more than just a man. That God himself lived as a man. And he was properly announced when he came into that city as the rightful ruler, the son of David and rightful king, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But more than that, this story gives us an example that should still affect us today. Not just a piece of trivia in the life of Jesus. Wasn't it interesting the way he came into Jerusalem that one time? I wonder how many branches they cut down. But something that we can follow today because the king still reigns. The king still reigns today. Hosanna in the highest, the king still reigns. They did not stop him that week. No number of soldiers was able to put him down. But Jesus reigns. That the example of this crowd is one that we can follow. In each of the Gospels, the story is told with different details included. Apparently, Jesus was asked, as they're coming in, the religious leaders and maybe some of the more cautious people, those who were worried about what Rome would say or what polite society dictated, they come to Jesus. This seems to be your crowd. Maybe you could quiet them down a little bit. Knock off all the shouting, all this talk of a king coming. Jesus says, it's not a good idea. If they were to remain quiet, the rocks would cry out. It's an impossible task to stop this crowd now. And even if we did, the praise that I am owed would come to me. That Jesus is coming to town and the people should hear it. That he deserves that praise and that honor. The shouts of Hosanna. More than that, we see one of the reasons in the Gospel of John why this crowd gathered at this time. What had gathered them up. More specifically, where these people had come from than just those who had followed Jesus in general. Because just before this, Jesus had gone to visit an old friend. And he got there, by all accounts, a little bit too late. Lazarus, who was sick. Lazarus, who died. Lazarus, who rose again. Who came out of the grave. A man back from the dead. And it started to get around that this had happened. And the crowds came out to see him. I imagine Lazarus over and over again had that conversation. So you were dead. What was that like? Well, I was dead. And then what happened? I got back up. Man, so do you feel good now? Yeah, pretty good compared to being dead. Yeah, really good. Man, so you were dead. You don't look dead. No, I don't. And the crowds gathered and they came. And they're announcing not just that Jesus is the Lord, not just that he is the son of David and the rightful king, but this is the one person that you want to come to your funeral. You need to know this guy. You don't understand. He's healing people, but sometimes he heals them Well, I would say it was too late when the doctor says there's no more hope. Doctors say that sometimes today. There's nothing we can do. Maybe only a few more months, a few more weeks. Most we can do is make them comfortable. By all accounts, though, people stop going to the doctor once they've passed. Doctor, my wife passed yesterday. What do you think her chances are? Not good. Okay, but I know a guy. Well, Lazarus knew a guy. He was brought back to life. And the thing is, that's not just a story for 2,000 years ago outside of Jerusalem. But the same thing that stirred up that crowd that day as they come into Jerusalem with Jesus, that someone was brought back to life, that's the same story that we proclaim in the church today. In a very personal way. But we believe that each one of us, through the work of Jesus, through his own death and resurrection, has access to new life. That when you tell the story to the people around you, that we have a king who reigns, don't leave out the part where he brought someone back to life. He brought me to life. He brought you to life. I was dead in my sins. But Jesus gave me life. If you have new life, if you truly believe that apart from Jesus, you are dead, and that only through Jesus you have life, Jesus should make a bigger impact than the Broncos on your decorating choices and your choice of conversation. This is a story of a whole city being stirred up because people were so enthusiastic for Jesus. Who are you stirring up? You have a nosy neighbor. What are you guys doing over there? If you did have one, would they ever notice anything about Jesus? The people that you work with, that you speak to, do they ever walk away saying, wow, you really like this Jesus guy? That's what we are called to as believers. It's the purpose of the church in this world, proclaiming the glory of God. Having that be our greatest joy, to know God, to love him. Because our King still reigns. Jesus is alive. We celebrate when we come to Easter, not the things that this world is happy to celebrate. Chocolate bunnies, flowers in bloom. We celebrate something greater. I was dead in my sins. Jesus gave me life. I had no hope in this world and still have no hope in this world apart from Jesus. My King reigns. He reigns today and he reigns forever. This week above all other weeks, we celebrate. And Christmas is great to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But Easter is so good. The resurrection. That new life. And the fact that we live in a place where people would celebrate Easter when they don't know who Jesus is, is an incredible blessing and an opportunity for us. And it's also kind of a disappointment that people would say, ah, Easter, I love the candy that time of year. This is the resurrection. I am alive. Jesus has worked in my life. I don't need a piece of candy to remember it. He is with me every day. It's why we gather to praise him and give God glory, to renew our strength and our commitment to giving glory to God. Why we invite others, and especially I hope at this time, that you speak to those around you. There are many in the world who have no faith at all are doing things for Easter. We, who are servants of the King, can celebrate the one who reigns still. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Who is being stirred up by your words? Where will you be able to say, this is Jesus? Our God reigns. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you are at work among us, that you have given us new life, and we ask that you would stir us up, that we would express this life in ways that are very visible to the people around us, even those who want us to remain silent, that you would stir up the people that we interact with, that the things we do for your name would seem so crazy for this world, the people ask, why? Who? And we can tell them, our Jesus reigns. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.